Hey everyone, before you listen to this episode, I just wanted to remind you to join me every Friday for free. I give it for free for one reason. I want to make sure that everyone joins me on my mission to empower others to be happy. Join me for my free training every Friday. Hey everyone, today's episode is about the legends of office hours. That's right, my mentor Blaine Bartlett and Tim Story both join me as the three of us discuss how there are no setbacks, only setups. And sometimes we just need to change the song. Don't forget to join me this Friday for my free training. You can text me at 949-298-2905. Email me at david@dmeltzer.com. Or of course, visit me at dmeltzer.com/training to register. Thank you so much. This is the legend episode of The Office Hours. I have my mentor, dear friend, co-author Blaine Bartlett with me, but we have a special guest right off the bat, Tim Story. Thank you so much for joining us.
What a privilege. You guys are looking great. I was just telling you before we started, the lighting is really awesome on both of you.
Well, good news. Trained professionals, don't try this at home.
Well, I'm broadcasting out of a closet, so I can always change clothes. I can do whatever I want real quick. Well, you know, this is the time of setups, and no better person to bring on than Tim Story to talk about comebacks and how our setbacks create the comebacks and the setups for the successes that we have. And I'm just getting old enough, not like you two old guys, I'm just getting old enough to realize all of the setbacks that I had set me up to this great life that I'm living today. Tim, I thought you would just start by giving us a little bit of your wisdom and perception of what exactly does that mean? How can a setback create our comebacks?
Yeah, so thank you. First of all, I think that, you know, nobody looks for a setback. I don't know of any of the guys I've coached in the past and in the present that woke up one day and said, you know, today I'm going to have a terrible day. So I think that, you know, we all start and we're flowing and we have momentum. And then something happens, what I call a life interruption. And a life interruption could be you find out that you're ill, you find out that your relationship is really not working, or that one of your children is not doing well. So a life interruption is something that kind of knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm here. Okay. So now that you've had this life interruption, what do you do? So now you're having what we call a setback. Okay. As I've done studying on the setback, I've found over the last 30 years that most people, when they have a setback, they're not ready for it. And so there's a lot of emotion that comes, sometimes anger, sometimes fear, sometimes they feel overwhelmed. So many times when you have the anger, the fear, and you feel like you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to do, so you just sit down. And notice that even great athletes, they could be in a big game and they'll sit down during that game, literally. They're out on the court, but they sit down. A kid in a test, they may just kind of sit down on that test. So I find that a lot of people, when they have a setback, they sit in the setback. Second one, guys, is that they settle in the setback. That's the big one. They settle and they decide that maybe my life won't be that great because I never thought I'd get divorced, or I never thought I'd have to work through addiction. So now they settle and they become what I call a discount version of themselves. So some sit, some settle. Here we go, last one. Some cement themselves in the setback. And that is so many people that we went to high school with. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I love that. Just the alliteration of it. Sit, settle, cement.
Yeah.
Either one of which, if I'm not paying attention, puts me in a rut. And David, you heard me talk about this a lot. A rut's nothing more than a coffin with the ends kicked out.
Wow.
And so people will just kind of, yeah, that becomes their life. You know, if you're living like, you know, who was the Mallory, you know, George Mallory, mountaineer in 1920s. that, you know, we eat and we make money in order to live. We don't live in order to eat and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, setbacks happen and they're just part of life. Yeah, we have to have a setback in order to, if we're smart, move to that next level. And it's kind of, it's happening for me, not to me. So
I agree.
Philosophy.
And for me, you know, setbacks have an indicator, and that indicator to me is pain, right? So for me, if I have emotional, physical, spiritual, financial pain, so I look at it, and I told one of my kids this week, because we had a little bit of pain, and I said, do you get pissed off at your car when you make a left turn? And she looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, when you put that blinker on, I said, are you pissed? And she said, no. I said, yeah, because it's an indicator of what? She said that I'm making a turn. I said, exactly. That's what pain is. So let's not get pissed off, right? Let's say that this is an indicator that we have a lesson to learn for the change. And why not take, because we give meaning to everything we see. I said, why not take the approach that life is pushing me in the right direction, not the wrong direction, right? Mm-hmm. We have a GPS system that is an auto driving system that already knows the right direction to push us in. And I said, and what drives the car is not fuel, it's faith.
And I like that.
Faith. And so what can I do to help your faith? Because I've gone through these roads and tried to make my own turns and realize I'm better off going on autopilot.
David, I love that. And because I love the rhyme, so I got to rhyme this. Number one, kids, do not get pissed, persevere, and make sure and prosper.
Great.
They don't call him Jim's Story for nothing.
Beautiful.
I really like that. You know, when I was a kid, you guys remember when we used to play like tag football out in the street?
Okay? Yeah.
That was back in the day when kids played outside. Right. And I remember this one kid in our neighborhood named Mikey. He couldn't play this particular day. And so I asked somebody, do you know what happened? Well, I knocked on his door. His mother said he couldn't come. He was at a funeral. And I said, a funeral? How come? And this was very interesting because I was 8 years of age and the idea of a funeral, I said, how come? And then my friend that was about a year older said, somebody died. And I went, ooh, somebody died. So when Mikey came back the next day, we were playing touch football. I asked him, I said, Mikey, did you have to go to this funeral? He goes, yeah. I go, why? He goes, somebody died. I go, of what? He goes, I don't know, but they died. But guys, I remember that was such a foreign idea to an 8-year-old, right?
Yeah.
If somebody died. I couldn't like really figure out what that whole thing was. But as we get older, as you know, we find that these life interruptions come and then they will come again. And then we'll come again. So I love where both of you are coming from, is that somehow we have to build our muscles, right? We have to learn to be perseverance. We have to learn to have resolve to get through these life interruptions because they will continue to happen in life.
Yeah. You know, one of the, I love this conversation because part of what this is all about is that it's that space that allows for another voice to emerge if I'm paying attention.
Yes.
And yeah, this is true for people. It's also true for a business because, I mean, there are businesses that are, you know, seriously, yeah, disrupted right now. There's space to pause. And, you know, part of the, you know, this is office hours, so the soul of business office hours sort of a thing. If we're listening as business leaders, what's the soul of our business telling us about, you know, when we talk about pivoting? And David, you're talking about this too. I mean, just, you know, acting on faith. There's a voice here that says you might want to think about when you emerge in this direction, not that direction.
Yeah, let's go with David on that. I think he's an expert.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and part of it came from Blaine's wife on a giving sense. And it may sound weird to people, but when I became chairman of Unstoppable Foundation and Cynthia Kersey asked me to be that chairman, I volunteered to do 50 birthday parties in a year. And I really wasn't thinking, to be quite candid, of if you think about what it takes to give one birthday party, imagine doing a birthday party every week and around the world. And so, But the interesting thing, I thought Cynthia would tell me thank you so much and, you know, give me this appreciation. Instead, she said, I'm so excited for you. Like, oh, you're excited for me? She goes, yeah, I can't wait to see what comes from this for you. Yeah. Right. And yeah. And that's what the idea of what Blaine's talking about for your business. When this all happened, I couldn't wait to see what was going to happen for my business. Yeah. Right. Because it's an acceleration. It was like, here's some kerosene. You got a fire burning, Meltzer, in your business. Now let's pour some gas on there. Let's really make this thing move, because now the universe is accelerating everything. We have a compressed time of uncertainty, an acceleration and exponential growth, and you're prepared to handle it. You finally have the right mindset. You have the right people around you, and you're humble enough to know that you're not in control. And that last piece helped me compared to 2008, when I was still struggling with how am I going to get my way out of this? How am I going to do this? What do I know? Who do I, you know, not this time. I just sit back and say, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and allow the rest to happen.
I love what you just said, David. And I think there's times that we have to respond and that we just need to change the song. Because, you know, for all of us that are visionaries, it's so easy to see it the way we think it's going to be. But most times it's not that way. I have the opportunity, which you guys may as well, to go into the studio with amazing, amazing performers, singers from all genres. And many times the way they saw a song, thought the song would work, that's not how it came out.
Yeah.
Same thing with this. Now, let's go back for a second. New decade, right? So everyone's like, thank goodness the old one's gone. Can't wait for this new decade. And then just around the corner, right? COVID-19. And we have to realize that we can adjust to this song. We can adjust. This could still be a beautiful year. We have to adjust to the song.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, I did a show just about an hour and a half ago. Return to normal. Be careful what you ask for. You know, normal's not where we want to actually organize around, because it's about going backward. Normal is about going backward.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I'm really intelligent, what I'm going to be doing is letting that just kind of fade into the background. And now I've got possibility in front of me.
Okay. So now I want to ask you guys something. Why don't we want to go backward? Start with Blaine and then to David. How come we don't want to go backward?
Well, if I'm not going forward, I'm not growing. If I'm not growing, I'm dying. I mean, it's just, for me, it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And to recapture what was, puts me back in a place where I'm just kind of fumbling around with everything that I know. I want to go into places that I don't know, because that's juicy. I mean, wow. It really is. It's juicy.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, I hate following Blaine, but I'll just add to it, because it's about nice about lessons. And I don't want to go back and not learn. And so I'm a student of history, so I can learn human nature so that I can expand and grow, as Blaine said, and create and expand and grow more, so more can come through me for others. And I think, you know, understanding that word lessons is so important to everybody, because when you look for the lessons, whether it's pain that I'm looking for lessons in, or my ability to love all activity, you know, is a big attribute of right now, is that there's only activity. There's activity you get paid for, activity you don't. And I'm constantly looking at the lessons of my activity. And because there's activity, every activity I do, there's a certain portion that I love, a certain percentage. It's just quantum in my being. I feel at home with it. And there's always a portion of that, a percentage that I don't love. Why not make it my expertise to find the lessons of why I don't love that percentage, and including my relationships? I know my wife's outside this closet right now, but there is a small, tiny percentage of my relationship with my wife that I have to learn to love. And mm-hmm. The better I get at that, the more whole the relationship is, the greater it is. And that intimate relationship between me and my wife is symbiotic to every relationship, including God as that relationship as well. Because as his son, or whatever people believe it to be, and then that gives you the faith to go ahead and allow things to happen as well.
I like that. Yeah. Blaine, he's such a romantic.
Oh, I know. Hey, the dog howls when he kisses Julie, but that's another story entirely.
I like this story. I think you guys will appreciate this. One day I was talking to Quincy Jones, and I don't say that just because it's a name. That's my real family. And I was talking to Quincy, and I was naming this one artist that had one hit. One hit. That's it. That's who I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You're good. Usually I don't say who it was, but you just guessed it.
I said it, exactly.
And so I said to Quincy, I said, why is it that he had one hit and he was able to live off that one hit? And I'll never forget, it was about 12 midnight, and Quincy got up off the couch and he says, Tim, such a great question. He said, because with that one hit, he could buy a house, he could travel, he can make money, he can get girls. He said, but there was more hits underneath the other hit had he taken the time to go mining for those other hits. Yep. Guys, this is some brilliant stuff. Because for David, for Blaine, for Tim Story, I believe COVID-19, as terrible as it is, and it really is that, okay? It has made me have to go mine for other hits.
Yeah.
Because now we have to do things different. Blaine, what do you think about what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're spot on. I am busier today in a productive way than I've probably been in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I've actually produced more in this last 3 months, sitting here, you know, in this beautiful home that we have, because I've had the time, and this is interesting. Pace has slowed, and in the slowing of the pace, this is the longest period in my, you know, in the last 40, literally 40 years that I have not been on an airplane.
Yes.
Yes.
And
same with me.
And I've had time to just kind of go, you know, I've got something under this piece of paper here that I've been meaning to look at. Let me, yeah. And yeah, I got a book out that took me no time at all to get out, and it's selling really well. And you know, I've got videos coming up. I've got, you know, yeah, David and I, you know, started this show. I mean, it's kind of like there is stuff that's going on that I would not have done.
Yes.
Because I didn't take the time to look at what's under this hit, because I was a hit in one area. I had a lot of stuff going really well.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going underneath it. Wasn't going underneath it. What else can I leverage here?
How about for you, David?
It was definitely my kid. So for me, I had this whole philosophy of 2 minutes a day with my kids was what I need. 30 minutes with my 10-year-old, 2 minutes with the teenage daughters. I always put it on them that I asked for 5, and they were in college. But I haven't dug real deep into that relationship with the older kids, and also truly appreciated the relationship with my 10-year-old. And so for me, you know, I felt like Vanilla Ice. Everybody thought I was a superstar because I'm a, you know, 4-hit wonder. I got 4 beautiful children that everyone sees on the surface. Our relationship is wonderful. They get good grades. They don't get in trouble. I must be a good dad. But we were doing our own stuff. And now I've dug down real deep and said, you know what? I got a lot more hits with these kids. And the cool thing is I'm integrating. They're watching and learning and doing with me. And the lessons that I can teach today that I never could teach as a parent before, from allowing them just to witness. I don't teach. I don't tell. I just watch. Let them watch me, and they participate. My biggest video I've ever done was by my daughter, Mia. I have paid a fortune for video guys, editors, and she took her iPhone and she did this, you know, in the closet Meltzer's video that is blown up in the comments. And it's one of the biggest bonding family things. All because I allowed that witnessing and I dug really deep. And now I'm really motivated when we get through this for no new normal, but for me to keep digging.
I love it. Yeah. So we're talking about the comeback. So some people sit, we said some people settle, and some people cement themselves in the setback. And all of us know people, guys, unfortunately, these setbacks happen and they're never the same. They're never the same. Blaine, give me one thought of why you think people cement themselves in a setback.
they lose. I mean, I'm going to put this back in the context of soul. Yeah. They have lost connection with that. And Carl Jung talked about the soul being that spark that gives life, you know, to anything. It's that little voice you hear at 3 o'clock in the morning going, grow, you can be more. You can. They lose connection with that. They lack the ability, and it is an ability, to think bigger than they feel. And the feeling overwhelms. And you know, this whole COVID thing for me, in one sense, is there's a grieving piece that comes into play around this. Yes. Yeah, and if you look at, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's model on grieving, you know, there's denial, anger, bargaining, and then acceptance. And you know, it's presented usually in a linear process, but it gets circular real quick. Denial and anger, so we loop in that. It's not happening. Yes. Oh, damn it! It is happening. It's not. And then we start to bargain, and it's kind of like, well, can we just get a little bit of freedom here? Yeah, but, I mean, so that whole grieving process, we are undergoing a grieving process right now in a number of different domains. And people's ability to move through grieving is interesting. Some people will get cemented in it.
Yes. How about you, David?
I think it's simply put, only babies like change. Right? Only a wet baby likes change.
Yeah.
I think that's why people submit themselves.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.